in this congregation. And it's good to see so many new faces and new visitors. We've really been blessed over the last couple of weeks with God just bringing lots of people to come and check us out, and many being added to us as a congregation. I think one of the things that's really amazing to celebrate about what God's doing in this church is, I'm not sure if you know this, but a lot of the people that get added to this congregation get added through getting saved. And that may not sound like a very big deal, but actually a lot of churches don't grow through people coming in and getting saved. A lot of churches grow by Christians moving from one church to another one. And it's really quite a sobering thing and a beautiful thing to celebrate people coming into the church and finding Jesus, being born again, being filled with His Spirit and growing into what everything it means to be a child of God. And even within the last few weeks, it's been amazing to see, like, almost every week we see people responding to the gospel, being born again. And it's been so exciting, even in communities, to hear of, like, new believers who have found Jesus, who are taking their first steps following Christ. It's really something to celebrate, because that's why we're here, isn't it? Let me put that differently. That is why we're here. Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. And we are not just here to be children of God. We also be here to see God's kingdom growing and coming through us. But one of the things I felt the Lord asking me to share with you this morning is, what does it actually mean to be a disciple of Jesus? What does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus? And the reason why I want to share on this is because I believe it's at the heart of how it is that we can actually be Christians who are filled with the life and power of His Spirit. Let me put this a different way. There was a time when I was a believer in the church, had been a part of the church for a long time, and I started to get a bit disillusioned with being a Christian. And the reason why I became disillusioned is because I knew all the things that God promises to Christians. I'd been a Christian long enough to know God promises, you know, that is, we'll hear His voice, that we will overcome the world, we'll overcome sin, you know, that we'll experience His peace and His joy. I knew all of these things, but I'd been a Christian just long enough to kind of start to get a little bit jaded, because I started to look at my own life and think, okay, I'm not actually enjoying all of those things that we keep saying we are about at church. You know, it's kind of a disconcerting moment when you realize, okay, I keep saying these things, but I'm actually personally not experiencing these things. And then it takes one or two more steps from that, and I got quite cynical. It's like, well, maybe no one is. Maybe we're making all these promises and none of us are actually experiencing. Maybe it's just hype. Maybe we're selling a product that isn't actually all that it's cracked out to be. And I got quite cynical and jaded like that. But I'm happy to say the story is having a happy ending currently, where I actually, subsequent to that, found life in Jesus. And actually, I'm now able to confidently proclaim the good news of the gospel and all the promises of the kingdom whilst I'm actually enjoying them, right? But I say that, but I know that maybe not everybody is there yet. Maybe you're still in the first phase where you're thinking, okay, I've been following Jesus for a little while now, but actually, I don't experience the peace that surpasses understanding. In fact, I still have lots of anxiety, actually, and I'm maybe crippled by anxiety and insecurity. Jesus said we're going to overcome the world, but actually, I don't actually know if I am overcoming the world. I still feel quite gripped by sin. And I believe that the missing ingredient for me, and possibly for you, is what does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? Actually, the blessings and the inheritance we experience in the kingdom are conditional upon abiding in Christ. Abiding is one of those words I try not to use because it's a very Christianese word. I try and avoid Christianese words. Anything I might avoid saying to a mate of mine, maybe going for a surf on a Saturday morning, I try and avoid using on a Sunday morning, because Christianese has the danger of, like, we're all saying the same words, but none of us actually understanding what it means. But disciple is another one of those words. When was the last time you were in a conversation with a colleague at work and you said the word disciple? You should be laughing. I hope you don't use the word disciple when you're speaking to your colleague at work. It would be a bit weird. It would almost be a bit cultish. But disciple is fundamentally important for us to understand if we want to be a genuine Christian. You can't actually be a real Christian experiencing all the life of God and not understand what the word disciple means. So here's what it means. In the time of Jesus, you'd have these teachers who would teach the law, Jewish teachers of the law, who over time became incredibly well respected, like the gurus of their day. And everyone who knew their names, and some of them were more highly respected than others. Some of them were quite famous throughout the whole of Israel. And what they would do is they would call a few people to become their students. But it was by invite only. So it's not like, you know, I'm doing this course online and like and subscribe and follow me for more key tips. And it wasn't like that. It was by invite only. If I call you or you come to me, and you either get accepted or not. And it was usually quite a small crowd. And you see, Jesus did this. He had how many? 12. That's quite a small crowd. And the more influential the rabbi, the more of an honor and a privilege it was if you got in to be a disciple of that rabbi. And it wasn't like, hey, I'm going to be having lectures on campus on Tuesdays and Wednesdays between 9 and 11. So if you have some time, come and join me for a lecture. No, it wasn't like that at all. It was a radical form of lecturing where the rabbi would say, come follow me. And what that meant was you would leave whatever you were doing, whether you were studying, whether you were working, whether you're a fisherman. And you see Jesus doing this with his disciples. Some of them were fishing. That was their business. Some of them were tax collectors. That was their business, their livelihood. And he would say, come follow me. They would leave everything that they were doing and go and live with their rabbi. Can you see how different that is to UCT? And they had this saying in the Talmud. It was a blessing that they would speak over each other. Such a cool blessing. They would say, may you be covered by the dust of your rabbi. I'm getting a lot of blank faces. So the idea was you would follow your rabbi. So imagine your rabbi walking through the dusty streets of Jerusalem wearing sandals. Oh, there they are. And as he walks, he's kicking up dust from his sandals. And you're walking so closely behind your rabbi, the dust is literally flicking over your face. And that is your blessing. Imagine how blessed you'd feel with your rabbi's dust kicking all over your face. But there's something deeply profound about that saying, because we are called to be disciples of Jesus. And the blessing that we experience is conditional upon us following closely behind Jesus. As he walks, we walk behind him. And we learn from him. And we actually, we grow up to be just like Jesus. So here's the thing. The discipleship program was based on two things. Learning and living. So you would go to learn from your rabbi. In fact, each rabbi would have something called a yoke. A yoke meant their interpretation of God's law, their interpretation of God's word. In other words, as they would study God's word, they would have a particular interpretation of how you should live this out. Does that word yoke sound familiar to you at all? Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He's using rabbinic language. And so they would go and learn everything that they could possibly learn from their rabbi. In fact, they would live with him morning, noon, night. Wherever he goes, they go. And they'd have many conversations. They would have lectures. And you see this as you read the Gospels, don't you? As they're walking with Jesus, they would ask him questions and say, well, tell us about this temple. What's going to happen to it? Tell us about the end times. How will we know when you're about to come back? Tell us about this. Tell us about that. They were disciples gleaning from Jesus, learning from him. They wanted to know every little bit of wisdom that Jesus had to give. And the hope was with the rabbis that when they would die, their disciples would have lived with them for so long. They would learn everything they could learn. And they would themselves grow up to become teachers. And they would become the living legacy of their rabbi. Friends, that is what Jesus has called you and me to be. So I said, learning and living. Why would they not go to lectures? Why would they go and follow and live with? Because they believed, as we should, that the kingdom is not just about learning information. It's about living out the will of God. And so they would hear the teachings from the rabbi and then they would watch. How does he live this out? How does he love his wife? How does he raise his children? In Jesus' case, how does he drive out demons? How does he heal the sick? I mean, you know, raising a child is one thing, but raising a dead person back to life again is, that's high grade. You can imagine, like if Jesus is expecting that when he goes, you're going to be continuing his ministry, consider his ministry. Are you going to be avidly watching what Jesus is doing? How exactly does Jesus pray? When Jesus would go and have quiet times in the morning with his heavenly Father, disciples were watching. That's how you pray. They even asked him, how do we pray? You say, oh, this is how you pray. Why is this significant for us? It's because God has called you and me to be disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. To learn his teaching. But not just to learn his teaching, to learn how to live in a way which is abiding with the Heavenly Father, is abiding with Christ, that we would go on having his life, that we would be fruitful, and that by his Spirit, we would actually grow into the exact nature and character and wisdom and life and ministry of Jesus Christ. That's quite a thing, isn't it? Have you ever thought about your own life like that? That when Jesus is finished with you, you're going to look just like him. I hope you have. It's quite a weighty thing. Why do I say this? Because I find that many Christians believe in Jesus, but they don't actually fully appreciate this is what God has called us to. He hasn't just called us to believe in him. He's called us to be disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you see this in the New Testament. Jesus said in Matthew 28, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Here's the two things I mentioned. Teaching them everything I've taught you, but teaching them to obey. That means live out this life. Live out this wisdom. It's got to do with understanding, but also living. We don't understand the words of Jesus until we're living them. True? We sometimes, as Greek thinkers, separate understanding from living. Hebrew thinking was, no, you understand it when you are living it. And so Jesus made 12 disciples, and then he said, okay, now I want you to go and teach what I've taught you and show others how to live the Jesus life. And friends, it's as we live it out, as we go on abiding in Christ, that we experience the power of the Holy Spirit. That we experience his resurrection life. That we experience his peace. That we experience his joy. And it's as we walk in the footsteps of Jesus. Paul said it like this in 1 Corinthians. Timothy was his disciple. This reason I have sent to you Timothy, my son, whom I love, who's faithful in the Lord. He will remind you of my way of life, which agrees with what I teach. Can you see they go together? Be wary of preachers who preach an incredible sermon, but their way of life doesn't demonstrate what they teach. They must go together. Does that make sense? Otherwise, you're a hypocrite. This is why Jesus warned us about false teachers. He said, judge them by their fruit, by their way of life. And in Galatians 4:19, Paul says to the church, my dear children, for which I am again in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. And so one of the things it's important to know about being a disciple of Jesus is that he calls you out of the world to follow him. And there's two things about this. It's an incredible honor to be called to be a follower of Jesus. Because the more, the greater the reputation of the rabbi, the more sacred the calling and the more humbling the calling is. And the unique thing about Jesus is, you know, the rabbis used to pick the brightest and the best and the people with the most potential, young men with their lives ahead of them that had already shown great potential. Who did Jesus call? You. He chose me. It's like, Jesus, if you're picking people with great potential, maybe you wanted to consider some other people, you know, because I'm just an ordinary guy. Jesus calls the ordinary. And that tells us what kind of rabbi he is, because he doesn't have to pick the best and the brightest. He can take ordinary, sinful, useless men and women and teach them and transform their lives, fill them with his Holy Spirit, and they can go on to be incredible witnesses of his glory and his wisdom and his grace. Thank you, Jesus, that he's a very different kind of rabbi. Amen? And so it's an incredible honor. It's also one of the most disruptive moments that you will ever experience your life when Jesus says, come follow me. It's an incredibly disruptive moment. Peter says it well. Just go to the next verse. Where is it? Matthew 19. Peter answered, we have left everything to follow you. What then will there be for us? Jesus said, truly I tell you, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And then he says, not just you, but everyone. Everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. It's good to know, if you want to be a disciple, it's good to know there is a cost to following Jesus. I don't like to spend too much time talking about the cost, personally. Reason why is because we get Jesus. So it almost seems foolish to talk about the cost. Because, well, when you've got Jesus, are you seriously going to complain about it now? Like, you've got Jesus. Do you know what I mean? And so I don't like to talk too much about the cost because it's like, yeah, but it's the rubbish I threw away to have Jesus. You know, like, what did I have before I had Jesus? I had nothing going for me. I didn't have life. I didn't have joy. I didn't have hope. I didn't have faith. I've got Jesus now. I've got all of those things. And so, yes, there's been a cost. But, wow, I don't like to talk too much about the cost. You can spend your time thinking about what you had to sacrifice to have Jesus. Or you can spend your time thinking about, imagine if I didn't find Jesus. That's a cost. That is an incredible cost. And so Andrew says, my own sentiments when he found Jesus in John 1:41. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother and tell him, we have found the Messiah. Expresses so much, doesn't it? Dude, you don't understand. The guy we've been looking for the last 2,000 years, we found him. Imagine.
Imagine, like, it was social media, would have been like lighting up, hashtag, we have found them. At one point, Jesus says, guys, are you guys going to leave me too? And Peter's like, no, you don't understand. You have the words of eternal life. We have nowhere else to go. We have found him. And friends, that is exactly how I felt when I found Jesus. It's like, guys, you don't understand. You really don't know. You don't get it. I found Jesus, the way, the truth, the life. I found him. That's why I don't like talking about the cost. It's like, yeah, there's been a couple of things I've sacrificed along the way. But you don't understand. I found the author of life. I know what joy is now. I experience his joy. I experience hope. I have a hope. I have a future. If I could spend 30 minutes explaining to you how things were for me before I found Jesus, you would appreciate how significant it is. I found the author of life. Joy was a foreign word to me before I found Jesus. There were times when I felt a little bit happy, but I didn't have joy. And so, one of the things that radically changed when I found Jesus was I had to change my whole career path. I really wanted to be, you're going to judge me, but I really wanted to make a lot of money. I wanted to be stinking rich. And I was very good at arguing. So I figured being an advocate was the way to go. So I job shadowed an advocate for a week. And I realized, man, this woman doesn't have a life. She like literally lives for her work. So I said to her, you know, are all the advocates like this? I mean, is this the vibe? She's like, yeah, you have to really love the work because it'll be your whole life. And I suddenly realized, oh no, I'm going to have to make a choice here. My life is actually, I'm living for Jesus actually. I'm going to have a job, but I can't live for my work. My whole career path changed in that moment. I was like, okay, we'll scratch that off the list. I can't do that anymore. And so there is a cost to following Jesus. But friends, when you have Jesus, you have life. So just practically, to be a disciple means we get to hear God's voice. You can put up that scripture in John 10, verse 27. Friends, we mustn't skip over this too quick. This is a big deal. This is a really, really big deal. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. How does God disciple us? Well, first of all, he fills us with his Holy Spirit, and he makes us to know that we belong to Jesus. He is my shepherd. David said it best. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He leads me. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Jesus leads me. He speaks to me. Now, I'm talking about discipleship. I could dive into, you know, how do we disciple people? How do people disciple people? We'll get there. First of all, we have to know that God himself leads me. He speaks. Friends, God wants to speak to you. And I say this because we can actually lose faith that God speaks. And what do we do when we lose faith that God speaks? We rely on people. We rely on systems. We rely on programs. And I want to say, guys, no. God is your shepherd. My sheep will hear my voice. Even when you're having your quiet time, you know, when you're spending time with Jesus, you know, you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. The Holy Spirit is my teacher. The Holy Spirit is my guide. The Holy Spirit is one that helps me to understand the scriptures. The Holy Spirit is the one that shows me what I need to do. That shows me, it helps me to pray what's on the Father's heart. He lives in you. He's your guide. He wants to lead you. He wants to guide you. So
I say this because we can rely on human things. Like, it's great to have a daily devotional. But be careful, friends. Who's leading you in your prayer time? Who's telling you what to pray? Who's telling you what to read in your Bible? Who's telling you how to understand what you read in your Bible? Is it the Holy Spirit? I hope so. It's great to have little assisting guides when you're a new believer, but the Holy Spirit is the one that teaches me. I experience it like this, and forgive my human language, but it sometimes helps to translate. You know when you've got a couple of browsers open, you've got a couple of tabs, and then your internet glitches, and then you get that little spinning circle, right? Connecting. No matter what you do, like, it's dead. Your laptop is only thing it's got on it is what you saved beforehand. But it's right now it's reconnecting. And then you go and fiddle with your, I was going to say modem, but we don't really do that anymore. Your Wi-Fi. And as it reconnects, what does your laptop do? Like, all the notifications start ding, 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 and everything starts downloading and all the browsers start refreshing. That's really what it's like for me in my relationship with Jesus. Sometimes I'm distracted, I'm following my own paths, I'm doing my own thing, I'm getting a little bit Luke orientated and Luke reliant, and all my browser tabs are like reconnecting. And as I take a moment, I'm like, oh Lord, I need you. Oh Lord, I need to hear your voice. Oh Lord, I wanna walk in your ways. Oh Lord, I wanna walk in your life. I wanna follow after you, Jesus. Interesting, eh? Like, as you start doing that, the only way I can describe it is exactly the way the New Testament describes it. The Spirit comes upon me. And my brain looks just like your browser does when you've just reconnected, like notification. And it's incredible. You know, I'm so surprised by two things. It's how often God speaks and how clearly he speaks when I'm connected. I'll be sitting sometimes in worship or in hearing a person preach, and suddenly the Spirit comes upon me and my brain is just like, God's speaking. And I get my phone out and I'm literally typing. People usually think I'm typing notes from like what the person is saying, but I'm not. I'm just like trying to write down as quickly as I possibly can what God is saying to me right now. How fascinating is it when we fast as a congregation, you take a couple of days to fast and pray and seek the Lord and God's speaking. Amazing. Probably we were speaking the whole time, but we weren't connecting to the Wi-Fi, right? Because we get distracted. But friends, as disciples of Jesus, we need to be hearing his voice. In fact, you can't be a disciple unless you're hearing his voice. And I want to say it begins by being filled with the Holy Spirit and being refilled and refilled by his Holy Spirit. There's a very infamous line where in the book of Acts, where there's some believers that believe in Jesus, but they haven't yet been filled with the Spirit. In Acts 19, verse 2, he asks this question, did you receive the Spirit when you believed? Did you receive the Spirit when you believed? Friends, the Holy Spirit is the gift of the new covenant. You are not yet a new covenant believer if you haven't yet received the Holy Spirit. You're still in the old covenant. You just got rules. The gift of the new covenant is the Holy Spirit. Do you know that if you're filled with the Spirit, you can hear God, you can be used of God, you can be led by God the same way David was, the same way Moses was, the same way Elijah was. Don't you love it in James? It says, you know, you're just like Elijah. It's like, wow. Let me take a little moment to process that. I'm just like Elijah. Let's just reflect on Elijah's life. Just, you know, a couple of things that he did, you know. Like, he proclaimed a famine over the whole of the nation. It rained again when God said he must speak it. Like, you know, he did incredible miracles. Why? Because he was filled with the Holy Spirit. But you didn't get a junior version of the Holy Spirit. You got the same Holy Spirit. The book of Acts says, on the day of Pentecost, Peter stands up and he says, the Spirit is now being poured out on all flesh, young men, old men, women, children, and you will prophesy, you will dream dreams. What is it saying? It's saying in the Old Testament, a couple of few privileged few received the Holy Spirit. In the New Covenant, is available to all. I hope you don't just think I'm shouting at you this morning because that's what preachers do. I believe, friends, that as a church, we are called to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to be led by the Holy Spirit, to be used of the Spirit. Why? Because we are called to be disciples of Jesus. Jesus went up to heaven, filled us with his Holy Spirit, intends to teach us, to fill us, to use us, to speak to us, to lead us by his Holy Spirit. We're not just an organization. We're an organism. We're the body of Christ. And so I'm going to come to crash landing for a landing here. But I believe that God wants to speak. And I've done many teachings on how to recognize God's voice. How do you know if it's God or if it's like, the movie you watched last night? Or how do you recognize the voice of God? But what I believe the Bible teaches is that actually God speaks to those who are seeking him. God reveals his will to those whose hearts are inclined to follow after him. God doesn't reveal his will to those who are curious. He reveals his will to those who are surrendered, to those who have responded to the call. Jesus said, come follow me. And I've said, Lord, I'm coming. I had some stuff I was planning on doing. I'm leaving that stuff now. If you want me, I'm in. I'm going to follow so closely behind you that I want your dust right here. I want to be covered by the dust. I want to keep in step with your Spirit. Because you know what? As you keep in step with the Spirit, you experience the power of Jesus in your life. It's what it means to be connected to the vine. John 15. As you remain in me, I will remain in you. And you will experience the life of the Spirit, the power of the Spirit. You will overcome sin. You will experience the security of knowing my voice. You'll have the Holy Spirit testifying inside of you that I am a child of God. The danger is that the further we drift away from God, from following him, the less we hear his voice. And the less we experience our inheritance of eternal life, of freedom, of life, of joy, of peace in his presence. And so, can we, as God's children, can we foster a culture of obedience to the voice of the Holy Spirit? When God speaks, friends, it's really important what you do with his words. It's very important. I'll tell you how important it is. If you treasure his words and treat them like gold and silver and precious diamonds, do you know what he does? He speaks some more. He entrusts his will and his words to those who are humble, who treasure his words, who walk in obedience to his word. That doesn't mean we walk in sinless perfection. Nobody does. But it means that my life follows the pattern of Jesus. I treasure his words. It's my good shepherd speaking. And when he speaks, I know he's leading me into life. And as we walk in his will, as we treasure his words, he says, as you go on remaining in me, you will go on experiencing his life. And so this is really what it means to be a disciple. It means to be somebody who learns the words of Jesus and who lives according to his Spirit. Friends, can we learn the words of Jesus? It's a lost art. Friends, if we want to be disciples of Jesus, we actually need to know what he said. And I'm not saying that as a rebuke. I'm just saying, like, it's just the reality. Like, if we're going to be disciples of Jesus, the words of Jesus should be so familiar to us. It's what we live and breathe. Right? There's so many gurus out there, but friends, there's only one person whose words lead to life. That's Jesus. Can we as God's people devote our entire lives to listening, to learning, to living out the words of Jesus? That's what we need. That's what the world needs to see. Amen? We are the Jesus people. who live like him, who learn from him. We will go on learning from Jesus until the day we die. If you ever get to the point where you feel like, okay, I got it, I understand now, you got a problem. You are a disciple for life. You're a lifelong learner. Jesus is still radically correcting my idea of what God is like, of what his kingdom is like. It's almost not even 2 weeks that go past where I'm like, oh, my goodness. Lord, how today's years old, right? And that's the way it should be. He should constantly be correcting me, challenging me, teaching me his ways. Don't ever become overfamiliar with the ways of God. If you think you know how God thinks, think again. Man, we should be writing this stuff down. This stuff should be lighting up Facebook right now.